2021. What a year it has been. I looked at a recent survey from Chapman University that revealed that Americans today are living in a culture of fear. Now, health fears dominate the list. Fear of dying of COVID-19, or one of the variants of Delta or Omicron. The fear of dying of a heart attack or a cancer. Health fears dominate our list of fears of Americans in 2021. An interesting fact that if you're not aware of is extremely significant, and it's this. For the first time in history, today's children will live shorter lives than their parents. For the first time in history, our kids growing up will have shorter lifespans if trends continue than their parents. Now, our Americans' fears also include civil unrest, the fear of economic collapse, the fear of natural disaster, and these are legitimate concerns. Let's review just a few of the concerns of 2021 and that have bridged over into 2022. Of course, if you have one eye half open and sand in the other eye, if you're half asleep, you recognize that COVID-19 has really dominated the news cycle in 2021. There have been 281 million cases confirmed around the world, 5,400,000 some odd deaths. Of course, in March of 2020, vaccines were authorized, and that generated incredible debates across America, debates on whether the vaccines were efficacious, whether their safety. Now we're hearing about new strains of Delta virus, Omicron, that seems to be spreading so rapidly. I mean, names we never heard of before, and hospitals seem to be overflowing and people are dying. But then there's the problem of civil unrest in our society. It caused so much fear. You think back of January 6, 2020, American Capitol breached, 5 people die, 700 now have been arrested. Crime is skyrocketing in America. 16 of America's cities have had more homicides than this last year than ever before in American history. We've had 28,000 homicides in America in 2020. Now, I want you to put that in perspective. If you take the 20-year war in Afghanistan and all its deaths, and you take the Iraq war, and you put those deaths of Americans together, you get 7,000. But yet in our cities, in 1 year, last year, in American cities, we had 28,000 homicides, murders, deaths. So when you look at that fact, crime is skyrocketing. 34 school shootings have taken place last year. I mean, you'd expect to send your kids to school and at least they would be safe where? In school. 34 school shootings, 24 school shootings since August 1. A shooting on November 30th, you remember that, in Oxford, Michigan. Deadliest school shooting, 4 kids killed, 7 injured. Then smash and grab robberies? I mean, I never heard that term, smash and grab robberies. Gangs approaching high-end department stores like these jewelry stores. People coming with crowbars and smashing the jewelry cases. And over Thanksgiving weekend, $338,000 stolen. Now, the fears of Americans, our health, our cities, rising crime, school. I mean, you can understand, you read the statistics, and if you didn't read the book, your heart would be shaking for fear as well, right? But many people are concerned about our national debt. $24 trillion in national debt. The economists that I talk to, bankers that I talk to, tell me that our economy is on a slender thread and it's about ready to collapse. We're on the verge of possibly another recession or depression. In February, just to show you how quickly things can change, in February, there was a ship going through the Panama Canal called the Ever Given Met. It was a massive cargo ship. It had 1,800 containers on it. It blocks the Panama Canal. 400 other ships are stuck, and it costs the economy $60 billion in an instant, like that. I mean, this whole economy could fall apart so quickly. Our supply chain is blocked. Consumer goods are rising. Price of gasoline and food prices have skyrocketed, and house prices are through the roof. You talk about a society that is filled with fear. Then there are challenges on the international front. You look at Iran, Iraq, nuclear weaponry, North Korea, China, the China-Taiwan problem, Russia on the borders of the Ukraine, 100,000 troops. And that's not even to consider natural disasters. Deadly tornadoes in America's southwest, massive fires in our west, historic flooding and typhoons in China, life-threatening cyclones in devastating Asia, fiery volcanic eruptions in the southern hemisphere, fierce winter storms in the northeast, and unprecedented hurricanes in the south. I mean, 2021, you step back and take a deep breath and say, wow, what a year. Wouldn't you agree with me that the thing we need most today is a fresh dose of hope? To be vaccinated by hope. We need a fresh breath of hope. Now, the Bible presents a message of hope. Today, tomorrow, and forever. We can face the future, not with hearts filled with fear, but hearts filled with hope. Although challenging times are coming, whatever challenges we must go through, whatever heartaches we must face, whatever hardships we must endure, whatever sorrows we must experience, we can live life today because of hope, a hope that burns in our hearts. I was thinking about President of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt, 32nd president. You know, he served from 1933 to 1945. He served America one of the most challenging times. We're just coming out of a deep depression. We entered into the Second World War. And Roosevelt actually had his own challenges. You know, he had polio. He was paralyzed by polio, unable to walk. And there's the words he wrote that we can place on the screen. Roosevelt once wrote these words, "We have always held to hope, the belief, the conviction that there is a better life, a better world beyond the horizon." That's the Christian hope. There's a better world on the horizon. Something better than coronavirus. Something better than sickness, disease, heartache, and death. Something better than the fear of economic collapse or the fear of nuclear war or crime in our cities. You know, Albert Einstein made this amazing statement. And Einstein said, "Learn from today, learn from yesterday, live for today, but hope for tomorrow." There's that hope. That's the Christian hope, the hope for tomorrow that we have. Alfred Lord Tennyson, popular English poet during the reign of Queen Victoria, said this, "Hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come, whispering it will be happier." We have that hope as Christians. It just burns in our heart. I was interested in an atheist. What does an atheist have to hope for? And John Paul Sartre, a very famous atheist, put it this way. He said, "I know I shall die in hope." Now, he's an atheist. But then look what he says. He says, "I know I shall die in hope. I hope I shall die in hope. But hope needs a foundation." See, that's the problem. If you don't have a foundation for your hope, you're going to fall apart in crisis. The Bible presents a solid foundation for hope. Hope is mentioned in the Bible, depending on the translation of the Bible you read, between 141 and 181 times. The Bible is really saturated with hope. Now, what is hope? How do you define hope? We use hope as a very interesting in our society. I ask a student, "How did you do on your final exam?" And a student says, "I hope I did well. I hope I did well." I mean, it's kind of this kind of flimsy, superficial, vain wish. A family plans to go on a picnic. And I say, "You're going to go on a picnic? I hope it doesn't rain. Yeah, it's kind of, it's just kind of this superficial thing, you know. It's kind of like, well, it's this sanctified doubt, you know. I might say, I hope my favorite sports team wins the game. Depending on what your favorite sports team is, that might be a vain hope. In each of these circumstances, my hope is certainly not a biblical hope. It's not a settled confidence. It's more of a doubtful desire. Now, one of the best examples of biblical hope, and we're going to study that in the Bible today. What is biblical hope? How can your heart be filled with biblical hope? And how can you have this hope radiating in your heart in 2022 so you can be an ambassador to hope for others who are filled with fear? One of the best examples of biblical hope is found in Romans 4. So if you have your Bible, please take it and turn to Romans, the fourth chapter. We're looking at Romans 4, verse 17 and 18. Romans 4, verse 17 and 18. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, here Paul is talking about Abraham. Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah's 90. Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now notice this, speaking of Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So in the Bible, here is Abraham, and notice what the scripture says in verse 18. In contrary to hope, that is contrary to the hope of the world. The world would have no hope that a man at 100 and a woman at 90 could bear a child. Contrary to hope, in hope. But what is that hope based on? What is the foundation of that hope? What is the ground of that hope? What is the anchor of that hope? Notice, in hope he believed, so he became the father of many nations to what was spoken. Abraham believed what God was said. So therefore, what is hope? Hope is the confident expectation that what God says is true, no matter what is going on around me. Now, the three Bible writers that mention hope many more than any other. Okay, this quiz time. I'm glad you didn't put that up yet, the answer. All right, this quiz time. You ready for the quiz? You know, Pastor Mark teaches a lot, so I always have quizzes. If you were looking in the Old Testament for a book filled with hope, what book would you choose? Somebody? Hebrews? That's New Testament. Old Testament. Job? Somebody says Psalms. You're right. Psalms mentions hope. Of all the mentions of hope in the Bible, 21% of the time, it's mentioned in the Psalms. Now, do you know it's the second in the Bible for hope is Job? Now, you wouldn't expect these two books. I mean, here's David fleeing for his life, condemned by his own sin, lonely, alone in the wilderness, and he speaks about hope. Here's Job, devastated by the losses of his possessions, his family, his home, and he speaks about hope. Why? Because what is hope? It is the confident expectation that God will fulfill his promises no matter what's going on around me. Now, in the New Testament, Paul is the great proclaimer of hope. 35 times in the writings of Paul, we read about hope. He's beaten, he's stoned, he's imprisoned, he's shipwrecked, he's mocked, he's ridiculed, but he is filled with hope. Let's look at that definition of hope again. If I had to define hope based on the Bible, it's this. Hope is in the biblical sense, is the confident expectation that God will fulfill his promises. It fills our hearts with joy and peace, not because of what we can see, but because our hope is anchored in the promises of God. If your hope is not that you'll never get COVID, and if you get it, said, God, what happened to me? If your hope is that the economy will never go bust, if your hope is that everything around you is going to be great, if that is your hope, it's going to fall apart. If that is your hope, it's going to crumble like the sand castle beneath the waves. But if your hope is anchored in, if your hope is rooted in, if your foundation is Christ, Your hope will survive any storm. In the Bible, hope is a cornerstone of our Christian faith. We live a lifestyle of hope. Now, in the Old Testament, the word that is translated hope can also have the meaning of trust. The same Hebrew word, it's qua. The same Hebrew word for hope in the Old Testament is trust. Jeremiah uses it that way, where Jeremiah 14, verse 22, Jeremiah puts it this way. He says, our hope or our trust is in you. So our hope is never in ourselves. Our hope is never in our abilities. Our hope is never in our strength. Our hope is never in our wisdom. Our hope is always anchored in something else. To have hope in the New Testament is this confident anticipation or this patience that God is going to provide. Now, in the New Testament, there's a different verb for hope, but it's the same. See, in the Bible, hope always leads you out of yourself, never into yourself. Hope always leads you away from your circumstances. So hope is not in my circumstances. It's not without. Hope is not within. Hope is above. Hope is in him. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. I love the way this is put. It says, by the command of God and our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope. So there again, hope is outside of ourselves. Throughout Scripture, our hope is rooted, anchored, settled in God himself and Jesus Christ. Never in our abilities, never in our circumstances. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25 helps us to better understand hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, 25. The Apostle Paul is the apostle of hope. I want you to sense today the Spirit of God speaking to your heart during this service. I want you to sense that God is talking to you. I want you to sense that you are getting a fresh dose of hope, that God's hope will fill your heart. When you leave this place today, that you will be an ambassador of hope in a world of fear. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, verse 25. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. That's why it's not hope what's going on around me. For why does one still hope in what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So when the hope of God fills my heart, when my hope is in him, then I can persevere in any difficulty. Now the Apostle Paul gives to us seven reasons why our hearts ought to be filled with hope. And once you grasp this, once this fills your heart, hope just bubbles up within you and overflows to others. Seven reasons to be filled with hope. First, we have hope because we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, seven reasons given by the Apostle Paul for our hearts to be filled with hope in this new year. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 5. Here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, what has he done? Blessed us. Has God blessed you? He's blessed us with what? With how many? Every spiritual blessing and heavenly place in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, what does Paul pray? If you look here, let your eyes drop down for one moment further in the text and look at Ephesians. And you'll notice here, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul's praying now, and he's referring back to Ephesians 1, 3 to 5, where it talks about every spiritual blessing in Christ. And he says in verse 18, that your eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Paul says, I'm praying for you that your eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you understand the significance of, understand the meaning of these first few verses in Ephesians, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the what? Hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints? Paul says, I am praying that you'll grasp it. I'm praying that you'll get it. I'm praying that it'll not slip past you. I'm praying that your eyes will be open, that you can grasp this hope. What hope are you praying for us to grasp, Paul? In other words, Christ has called us to something, and Paul doesn't want us to miss it. What is it that Christ has called us to that will give us hope in a world of fear? We find the answer in verse 1. Go back to it. Go back to the text. We find the answer in the verse that we have just read there in verse 3. Paul prays that we would have our eyes open. Paul prays that we would comprehend it. Paul prays that we would not miss it. What are you praying that we don't miss, Paul, that's so exciting, that will fill our hearts with hope? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. If you grasp this, that you sit in heavenly places with Christ while you walk through the problems of earth, your heart will always be filled with hope. Now, this phrase, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, is unique to Ephesians. It's used 6 times throughout the epistle. It is that, what are these heavenly places in Christ? It is the place where Christ sits with the Father on the right hand of God. Now, if we are raised together with Christ, and Christ is sitting then on the right hand of God, we are sitting there by faith with him. And hope springs anew in our hearts. Fear is banished. Our spirits soar, because whatever is happening on earth, our lives are hid with Christ in God. We are sitting at the right hand of God by faith, with the assurance that nothing can touch us without divine permission, without for out which he has already made provision. And so, COVID rages. Sickness and suffering are all around us, and some of us are afflicted. But I sit with Christ on the right hand of God by faith. The economy may bust, but I sit with God by faith at the right hand of God. Civil unrest may take place in our cities, but I am sitting there by faith with God. My spirits soar, not because of what's going on around me, but I walk into the new year not filled with fear, but filled with hope in the glory of God, because nothing can touch us except by God's permission. We are filled with hope because by faith we sit with Christ in heavenly places. That's something to hope for. Second reason we have hope. We have hope because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts and nobody can take it away. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. 7 reasons Paul gives the Christians to be filled with hope. Now look, they were living in Rome. There was persecution. They were living in Rome. There was hardship. They were living in Rome. There was difficulty. There was living in Rome. There was poverty. 1/3 of the Roman population were slaves. That abominable, despicable slavery. 1/3 of the Roman population. And do you know most of the early Christians in Rome came from the slave population? That's where they came from. Most of those early Christians came from there. Romans 5, verse 5. So Paul writes to them, and this is what he says to them. He says to them, now hope does not disappoint. I praise God, hope doesn't disappoint, does it? Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. What is the second reason Paul gives us to be filled with hope? Because hope will never disappoint you, because God's love has been poured out in your heart. Circumstances may change around you. Your body may be afflicted, but there's hope in the heart. The infinite, abundant, unchanging love of God has been poured out in our hearts. So we're filled with hope. Circumstances may change. Calamities may arise. The economy may collapse. Lawlessness may reign in our streets. Pandemics may rage. The nations of the world stand on the precipice of war. But the love of God shines abroad in our hearts. We are filled with hope. And don't miss this point, because what is inside of us is greater than anything that's going on around us. Now, did you catch that, though? It's interesting in Romans 5, verse 5. It's easy to miss some little nuances about the text. Romans 5, 5 says, the love of God is poured out in our hearts. That's unique in the Middle East. If you ever travel in the Middle East, you know it's hot, desert. And if it ever would get rain, the rain would come down just pouring. You go into the desert area and you don't expect any rain at all, of course, and it doesn't rain many years in those deserts. So what does Paul say? For those of you living in the Middle East, he said, the love of God is poured out like an amazing rain. God doesn't just give you a little drop here and a little drop there and a little drop there and a little drop there, you see. The heat at times in the desert lands is almost unbearable. There's a scarcity of water, but God is saying, my love is like torrents of rain. It's going to just be poured out upon you. And when God's love fills our hearts, we are filled with hope. We can walk through the challenges of life because the love of God is poured out in our hearts, and that gives us hope. Here's the third reason. We have hope because we've been justified by faith, and we have peace with God. And the most important thing in this life is eternal life. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, third text on hope, Paul's reasons for hope. Here it is, Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in what? Rejoice in what, everybody? Hope of the glory of God. Paul says, because we have been justified by faith, we can rejoice in seeing God one day in his glory. Now, this word justification, it's a fascinating word in the Bible. It has huge meaning. It's mentioned 39 times in the New Testament, 27 times in the writings of Paul. It means to declare righteous, to present as righteous, to treat as being righteous. So we could read the text, therefore, having been declared righteous by faith. Therefore, since God treats me as righteous by faith. Therefore, because God presents me before his throne, before God, and before all the heavenly angels as righteous. So it's the act by which a person is brought into right standing with God. God cancels our debt standing in the heavenly court. So when I look into 2022 and I look back at 2021, I see the places I have failed, the places I've been impatient or unkind. There is a certain residual guilt that lingers in me. The places that I haven't been 100% transparent and honest. The places that thoughts that should never have entered a man's mind enter in. I look back on that and I fall on my knees and weep and say, God, I'm sorry for that. I confess my sin. And Jesus says, the guilt is gone. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And we become justified, not because what we have done, but because what he has done. Ellen White puts it this way in Steps to Christ, page 62. She says, if you give yourself to him, to Christ, and accept him as your Savior, then sinful as your life may have been, for his sake you are accounted righteous. We can have hope as we enter 2022. Why? Because in Jesus, by Jesus, through Jesus, because of Jesus, we have eternal life and we are accounted not as sinners, but righteous. What a reason for hope. Here are the reasons for hope. We sit in heavenly places with Christ. Whatever happens all around us, our faith is anchored in Christ in heavenly places. His love fills our hearts and is poured out from him to us in abundance. We stand before God just as if we'd never sinned. Fourth reason for hope in 2022, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Paul speaks of hope. He says, I want your life to be saturated with hope, not fear. saturated with hope, not doubt. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Paul talks about hope. This hope we have, this hope in Jesus. Jesus is the one that died for us. Jesus is the one that lives for us. This hope we have as a what? What is the hope, Paul says? It's like what? It's an anchor of the soul. All around us, the ground is shaking. The waves are high. The challenges are great. All around us, there is fear and doubt. But this we have as a what, everybody? What does it say? As an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. As an anchor of the soul, it enters the presence behind the veil. Have you ever been in a boat in a storm and you needed an anchor? Some years ago, I was working on the Amazon River, traveling up the Amazon on Lucero 6. And as we come up the Amazon, a terrible storm come up. We could see it across. Now, the Amazon River, you know, is about 400 to 500 miles wide at the mouth. Many of the places in the Amazon, you've got, it's miles wide, and there are islands in the middle of the Amazon. And so we're coming up the Amazon, and as we're coming up the Amazon, this storm is coming, and it's vicious, and we can see it. And I said to the pilot, look, we need to go. There are only three of us on the boat, the pilot, myself, and a boat boy. And he said, well, I said, we got to go on the other side of that island. There's the storm coming. He said, no, we don't go on that side of the island. He said, I know these waters. That storm is going to come. You see, it's going to hit that side. We got to anchor on the other side of the island, so the island's our buffer. And the storm came that night. And I will tell you, if we did not have a good anchor, I may have been bait for the piranhas. We had a good anchor. In a storm, you need an anchor. The boat shook. The boat blew. The waves came. It battered the old boat. But we had an anchor. Hebrews 6. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Now, our hope is an anchor. It's sure anchor. It's a steadfast anchor, which enters the presence behind the veil. Now, our hope does something according to the text. What does our hope do according to the text? What do you see? What does the text say? You see it there. You see it. What does our hope do? It does something. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and which, next word is what? Enters the presence behind the veil. So our hope transcends the conflict of earth and enters the presence behind the veil. And who is there where the forerunner, who's the forerunner? Jesus has entered for us, even Jesus having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. We can have hope because our hope transcends what's taking place on earth and enters into the most holy place of the heaven's sanctuary where Jesus is as our high priest. We can have hope because Christ is ministering for us in heaven's sanctuary. This hope in Christ as our high priest is an anchor to our souls. It keeps us steady in the storms of life. This hope enters the most holy place of heaven's sanctuary. It grasps the reality of the one that died for us and the one that lives for us. He is our great high priest. He knows our trials. He understands the challenges we face. He empathizes with our sorrows. He comprehends our weakness. And for every need, he gives us strength for the journey. Some time ago, a German pastor by the name of Paul Gerhard, this was in the 17th century, had just gone through the 30-year war. Now, in the 30-year war from 1618 to 1648, there were 4.5 to 8 million deaths. It was a war in which 50% of the German population were killed. It was a war that took place because much of Germany had gone Protestant with the Lutheran Reformation. But when Ferdinand became emperor, they forced Catholicism back on the nation, and it was this terrible war, and millions were killed. But Pastor Gerhard had to leave his home. He left it. He was in a little village inn. And as he was there in that village inn with his wife, she just broke down and cried. They were penniless. They were paupers. There was death all around them, and she couldn't take it anymore. And she was just weeping and weeping, and he tried to reassure her with the fact that Christ is in heaven's sanctuary and that Jesus is the great high priest, but it was hard for her to grasp. She was so emotionally upset. And so he left her, and he went out into the garden, and he himself, it was a little garden behind that inn, and he just sat on a bench and put his head in his hands, just began to weep and weep and weep. You know, sometimes you can get so overwhelmed and emotionally overwhelmed with death and with sickness and suffering, and you see it, and it just totally, you may believe, but it just totally saps your spirit. And that's what happened to Pastor Gerhard. He was just sitting there weeping. As he looked up, he began to wipe the tears, and soon he began to write. And a song, and the words came to his mind, and these were the words of that song that became a song. Give to the winds thy fears, hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through the waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day. Our hope grasped the reality of the intercession of Christ in heaven's sanctuary above. And as our hope grasps that, we have a song in the night. I love the way Ellen White puts it. She wrote a letter 100 in 1895, and she put it this way. In Christ, our hope of eternal life is centered. Our hope is an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, when it entered into that within the veil. For the tempest-tossed soul becomes a partaker of the divine nature. He is anchored in Christ. Amid the raging elements of temptation, he will not be driven upon the rocks or drawn into the whirlpool. His ship will outride the storm. We have hope. Our anchor in Christ will indeed hold. Are you facing some trial in your life? Take heart. Put yourself in God's hands. Wait for his time, and he's going to give you that song in the night, because our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is him. Here's the fifth reason we have hope. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul gives to us seven great reasons for hope. Reason number 5 for hope that Paul gives to us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. 35 times the apostle Paul talks about hope. Here we have Colossians 1, verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why do we have hope? Our hearts are filled with hope because Christ dwells within us through his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is constantly leading us from this world to the next. It's constantly reminding us that this world is not our home. It's constantly revealing to us that there is a better world coming. Our hearts are filled with hope because constantly, daily, momentarily, God reveals to us that there is an eternity beyond. Sixth reason we have hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, verse 13 to 17. God gives us hope. God longs for us to be an ambassador of hope. God wants you this new year to be filled with hope, not fear, hope, not doubt, hope, not uncertainty. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. During this last year, we look back upon it. Some of us this last year, it's been a tough year. Some of us have lost loved ones, a father, a mother, COVID-19. Heart disease, cancer, car accident, a sister, a brother. It's been a tough year. Tears have rolled down our cheeks when we've had to say goodbye. However long you prepare for it, however old your parents are, it is never easy to say goodbye. It's never easy to say goodbye to a loved one. Never easy to see a child die. Never easy to get the phone call that there's been a car accident and your son or your daughter didn't survive. Never easy to hear that your father and mother are on a ventilator and they're not going to make it. And you have to be the one to make the decision when they've stopped breathing to keep them on the respirator or not. Those are tough decisions. But they're not new decisions. The church in the first century, although the circumstances may have been different, they faced tough decisions too. They saw their loved ones die, and the Apostle Paul had to give them hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren and sisters, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Paul says, I don't want you to be in a state of sorrow. Sorrow may be an emotion that at times floods over you, but I don't want you to be in the state of sorrow, of continual sorrow. Why not? Because you have hope. For you have hope. For if we believe that Christ died and rose again, God will bring him with him those who sleep in Jesus. In other words, when Christ comes, God is going to bring out of the grave in resurrection those who have been sleeping in Jesus so they can return to heaven with God in Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, verse 15, that we are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Don't be sorrowful. Don't be in that state of sorrow. Why not? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive shall be remained together, will be caught up together with them to be with the Lord forever. We need not sorrow as others. We can have heart filled with hope. Why can our hearts be filled with hope? Because we believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. The English poet Alexander Pope wrote this: hope springs eternal in the human breast. Man never is, but always to be blessed. Where do we turn when hope dries up? You see, if your hope is gone, you've lost everything. Some time ago, I read a story of a doctor who was on duty in a clinic where they were treating terminal ill patients, and he was a new doctor that for that particular terminal patient, he was doing relief duty. And a terminal patient came in, and this guy had very little time to live. And he said to this man, you know, you probably won't live throughout the year. You probably won't make it throughout this year. And as the young man who was dying saw the attending physician who later came in, he said, he was just crying, and he said, that man took away my hope. He took away my hope. I had hope, but when he told me I wasn't going to live through the year, it just took away my hope. And the director said this: maybe it's time to find a new hope. Has your hope been taken away by sickness, suffering, disease? Is there a situation you faced that seemed hopeless? Here's the wonderful news. For the Christian, hope is not a passion, it's a promise. Hope is not a passion, it's a promise. We live in the promises of God's word. We have hope. The seventh reason for hope, right here. Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. Paul says, and Paul climaxes his teachings on hope with this. Titus chapter 2. You're looking there at verse 11, verse 12. Paul climaxes his teaching on hope. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12 and 13, actually. Talks about the grace of God brings salvation, appears to all men, verse 11. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in the present world. Grace is a teacher. Through grace, our past is not only forgiven, but through grace, we are taught to deny godliness, worldly lust, sober, to be sober and righteous. But notice verse 13, looking for, my heart is filled with hope because I'm looking for the what? For the what? Blessed hope and the what? Glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bible prophecy provides some of the greatest encouragement and hope available to us today. Just as the Old Testament is saturated with prophecies regarding Christ's first advent. So both testaments, the old and new, are filled with references to the second coming of Christ. As I open scripture and I read 1,845 references on the second coming of Jesus, my heart is filled with what, everybody? Hope. When I look at the Old Testament and 17 books give prominence to the second coming of Christ, my heart is filled with what? Hope. When I look at the 260 chapters of the New Testament and there are 318 verses on the second coming of Christ, my heart is filled with what? Hope. When 23 of the 27 books of the New Testament refer to the second coming of Christ, my heart is filled with what? Hope. And in the Bible, hope is never a static thing. It's never a passive thing. It's dynamic. It's active. It's life-sustaining. Hope changes how we see ourselves. Somebody has said, there are no hopeless circumstances. There are only hopeless people. You missed it. There are no hopeless what? Circumstances. They're only hopeless what? People. Because by the grace of God, the hope that is within me is greater than the conflicts of this world. In Christ, there is hope. Hope changes us from victims. Did you hear me, church? Hope changes us from victims to pilgrims on a journey to eternity. The circumstances of life change. The challenges of life change. The trials of life change. But they do not rob us of hope because it's anchored in Christ in heavenly places. Hope has its rewards and blessings. It's not all pie in the sky by and by. It's not wishful thinking or mere sentimentalism. Hope gives me joy today. Hope gives me peace today. Hope fills me with confidence and assurance today. It gives us courage and strength. You remember what Paul's prayer was for the church at Rome, and it is my prayer for you today. Romans 15, verse 13. Here is my prayer for you for the new year. Here is Paul's prayer for you for the new year. Here is Christ's prayer for you for the new year. Here is God's wish for you for the new year. Here's what the Holy Spirit is putting in your heart for the new year. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of what? The God of what? Who is he the God of, everybody? Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may do what? Abound. What's that word abound mean? It means be filled with, that you may abound in what? Hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, I'm praying that the God of hope will fill your heart with hope so that you can be an ambassador of hope to this worldly, this weary world. This year, I want to be filled with hope, not fear. With hope, not negativism. With hope, not doubt. With hope, not criticism. With hope, not gossip. With hope, not uncertainty. With hope, not hesitancy. With hope, not worry. With hope, not anxiety. I want to be, through Jesus, by Jesus, rooted and anchored and grounded in the hope of Jesus. What do you say? The world needs today men and women, boys and girls, filled with hope. As you leave today, leave this place filled with the hope of Christ. He's called you to heavenly places. His love fills our hearts. We're justified by grace, sanctified through the Holy Spirit. He's our intercessor and knows every need that we have. And he's coming again for us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, send us from this place as ambassadors of hope in a weary world. Send us from this place with hope filling our hearts, overflowing our hearts, knowing that in life's challenges, heartaches, and sorrows, that your hope is stronger than anything in this world. Teach us that you long to pour hope into our hearts. May we be ambassadors of hope in that weary world. In Christ's name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.